This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Retailers see strong numbers, but does it mean people are really on a buying spree?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The latest retail numbers for November show some robust sales at stores all across the country. The Commerce Department said today the holiday season started strong and shoppers bought more this year than last. What does that mean for the rest of the holiday season and for retailers looking for a bump from some abysmal sales during the recession? Marshall Cohen is chief retail analyst with the NPD Group. He's with us live from New York. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Your initial response to this latest retail data?
Well, the good news is that the consumer is clearly looking for bargains. Retailers offered up early discounts and continuous discounts, and the consumers seem to really respond with some pent-up demand and even some self-purchasing.
Which sectors, Marshall, are doing well and which ones aren't doing quite so well?
Well, the apparel business doing well. The toy business doing well. Electronics are doing well in units, but not necessarily in dollars because product is less expensive this year. But the real surprise is the footwear industry. Somehow, some way, all of a sudden, footwear has now become a hot holiday gift.
People are shopping, and you mentioned discounts, Marshall, but this, you know, this frugal consumer is looking for the deal. How does a retailer operate in this kind of environment?
When you look at the successful retailers, they're the ones that really used online in conjunction with their stores. They got the consumer to learn about what I call pre-search, learning where the best deals were. So the consumer could go online or get sales either emailed to them or either, you know, even digital media reaching them and telling them about the deals, get knowing what to get, where to get it, and even when to get it.
And they're shopping online, not only looking for the deals, but they're actually purchasing things on the web quickly.
Well, one of the great things is when a consumer goes online to learn about the deal and they find out that there's free shipping or a really good deal online, they take advantage of it. Why bother to go out in a storm if I can buy it at home in my pajamas?
Marshall Cohen, thank you. Marshall
Pleasure
Cohen.
To be here.
All right, Marshall Cohen from the NPD Group in New York. Let's expand on that internet shopping idea. Talk a little bit about the latest thing online. Department store JCPenney is one of the first major retailers to launch a web store inside Facebook. Shoppers can order stuff directly from the social networking site. Here's Marketplace's Janet Babin.
Lady Gaga is one of the most popular people on Facebook with more than 10 million fans. Considering that Penney's is a mid-level department store, its fan base isn't too shabby either, with about a million. And it wants those fans to do their holiday shopping while they're updating their Facebook status. Penney's has created a web store inside the social network. Clay Shirky's a fellow at the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at Harvard Law School. He says this is a chance for retailers to quantify how much benefit they're getting from Facebook.
We've never really known what it means to be a fan of a brand like Penny, whether that translates into sales or not.
Shirky says the embedded site could also lower the hassle factor of buying stuff. Now, you don't even have to leave Facebook to do a little holiday shopping. In New York, I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Dow is up right now about 0.5%, 65 points at 11,494. Electronics chain Best Buy reported lower than expected quarterly profit. Global stocks today were mixed.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at Microsoft.com/cloud. by the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt. It's more car than electric. And by Novo Nordisk, since 1923, innovative developer of diabetes treatments and delivery devices at NovoNordisk-US.com.
Gordon Brown thinks the world can head off another financial crisis by operating on the same page. In his new book, Beyond the Crash, the former British Prime Minister, who also served as Treasury Chief there, says the world's banks should adopt global standards. He's with us now to give us his thoughts on how to prevent another financial meltdown. Mr. Prime Minister, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
If you had to sum up what it was that started the economic spiral, what was it?
It was mainly a problem in the banking system, and the financial system crashed, it froze, and we've got to make sure that this doesn't happen in the future. I would say that we need a global financial supervision and not simply national financial regulators.
Give me an idea of how crazy things were right after the collapse of Lehman Brothers.
What we had to do was try to get some agreement about what the coordinated response of the world was going to be, because this is not a national crisis. This wasn't simply subprime in America. This was banks freezing up across all parts of the world. But it was touch and go, because basically every country had a different analysis of its own problems. And in Europe, it was felt the problem was American, and therefore it was difficult to persuade the Europeans to act as quickly, because they felt that they were only dealing with the consequences of something that was peculiarly an American problem.
You've said already there should be a certain global financial standard. But if that's the case, doesn't that make critics nervous about a so-called New World Order?
Well, when it came to 2009, people were happy to come together and take the action that was necessary. I'm saying in 2011 that we've got the prospects for Europe and America of a low growth and a high unemployment decade if nothing is done about it. And therefore, it makes sense to come together. It's a sort of new Marshall Plan that would bring the world together.
You call the debate over keeping government stimulus programs one of free market versus government in terms of living standards and morality. And you use the term moral imperative. Do you think the free market lacks morality?
I think the global financial institutions have got to recognize that they need underpinned by balancing off the need for enterprise and competition with being fair, being trustworthy, having integrity and showing responsibility. And, you know, it does come back to people's savings and whether you can get money out of the cash machine and whether you're going to be paid at the end of next week and what your house is worth and when you can be sure about what your job's prospects are. And these are the big issues that a banking failure can raise for millions of ordinary people around the world.
Mr. Prime Minister, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And finally, convicted drug dealer Malcolm King hates salami, so he requested kosher meals at the jail he's in Orange County, California. Sheriff's officials reserve those meals for inmates who claim a religious reason. His religious holiday? Festivus, which was created as an alternative to Christmas and Hanukkah by George Costanza's father on the TV sitcom Seinfeld. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
We've all gotten a bad gift or two, but did you ever stop to think about what they might be costing you?
To calculate the total loss in value of this candle to me, I would say that it took up 0.01% of my floor space. And when you multiply that by my rent and by 12 months, it comes out to $1.50 per year.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the Freakonomics of Holiday Gift Giving, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.